Hey everybody, this is Jamie Duke.
And I am Joe Fontenot.
And want to welcome you back once again to the Towel and Basin Podcast.
And so today, Jamie, I want to ask you a question about humility.
Okay.
Okay. So this is a theme, a concept that you have talked a lot about.
Okay.
And so briefly, just tell me kind of in a nutshell, how vital is humility to Christianity, to living
sure.
the Christian life?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think... it seems to me that pride and arrogance are antithetical to the Christian life itself. To be prideful is to be contra-Christian. I'm not saying somebody's not a Christian, because we can all behave that way. We all have our moments. But we do have to remind ourselves and be very clear that God hates pride.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if that pride is found in some lost person or one of his own beloved children. When God sees pride in us, he hates it.
Mm-hmm.
When God sees humility in us, he sees his own son.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you could, I mean, Old and New Testament, it's everywhere, all over the Old Testament. It's all over the New Testament. It is the embodiment
mm-hmm.
of found in Christ. I mean, he is this, though he is God, Paul tells us in Philippians 2, he humbles himself, makes himself nothing. He says in Mark 10, the Son of Man does not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. It is the way of Christ. And so when we see this in our lives, it is something that has to be checked. It's something that has to be repented of and turned from. And so, in short, I just say God hates pride, and he thinks that humility is beautiful. So if we want to live our lives in ways that are beautiful and pleasing to God, then that is the way of humility.
Okay. Well, that sounds great.
Yep.
But.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, stop it. But you have like two PhDs. All right. So let me frame this, right? So if pride is saying, hey, look at me, when in reality we're meant to glorify God,
mm-hmm.
A PhD is quite an accomplishment. Did we really need to?
So you're saying I'm arrogant.
Did I say that?
Well,
no. This is a question.
Yeah. I mean, I guess certainly, I mean, I am. I'm beating the drum right now on this. And, you know, maybe, yeah, that's because there's a real context in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to be honest with you, to be straight up, I have, I'm a recovering, arrogant, jerk. And especially I would say, thinking back on my life and the things that motivated me in my education that caused me to pursue this,
mm-hmm.
There's absolutely
mm-hmm.
moments in my life, seasons of my life, where it mattered to me very deeply what people thought about me. I mean, I don't come from much,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm a blue collar kind of guy. I grew up in a very broken home.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled academically my whole life. I graduated high school with a 1.6 GPA. I couldn't read until I was fourth and fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm honest, yeah, especially the first PhD I did.
Mm-hmm.
There were good, noble reasons. I don't want to say it was all bad. There were certainly good, noble reasons. I mean, I genuinely felt like this is what the Lord wanted me to do. And I knew that I could serve the church better if I was prepared. And something I love to talk about too, I've gone through some very serious seasons of doubt and struggle in my life. And in fact, both of the PhDs were born against a backdrop of me struggling in some ways with my faith in some ways. And so you could argue that I did two PhDs because I went through two pretty dark seasons of doubt and struggle, and I just needed to get at this. And so that was real.
So they're very functional at the time.
They were. They were. But especially the first one, I have to admit that during that season of life especially, it mattered to me
mm-hmm.
in a way that it shouldn't have mattered to me, and that frankly I'm a little ashamed of, that people think rightly about me. Coming out of the backdrop, and I, you know, maybe that's just human psychology in that sense. To, you know, people pick on you, and I got picked on all my life as a dummy, as a mm-hmm. stupid kid, and all those things, and it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It hurt very deeply. It shaped me, and so there was a sense in that first PhD of getting a bit of a monkey off my back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to prove to myself, being able to prove to everybody else that I could do, you know, good work and,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. And I look back on that, and I remember the season of my life that I went through. There was a, I refer to it as the dark years. There weren't gross, heinous sins going on in my life necessarily in that season. But man, that is a season that when I look back on it, it's a miracle that I didn't lose my faith, because I had become something that I don't ever want to be again. And I don't know how else to explain it other than about 8 years ago, God started a process in my life of just helping me see it in my own life and helping me to see just how ugly and repugnant that was to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And it broke me, and it still breaks me. And yet, it breaks me, and yet I know that I'm still just as prone today to do that. The second one, the second one especially is kind of maybe what would make it hard for someone to hear the drumbeat of humility coming from me. But the second, what I would just simply say is, you know, I don't hunt, I don't fish.
I just do PhDs.
I don't play golf. No, I'm not doing anymore, I'll tell you that. But I genuinely enjoy, especially then, I enjoy the intellectual side of our faith.
Sure.
It's fun to me to read on these things. It's fun to me to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. It's fun to me to write and to think through problems. And so I was kind of bored, to be honest with you. I missed school. I also had become obsessed via the doubt that I was talking about a minute ago. I had become obsessed with life after death and specifically questions pertaining to the soul, which we've just done some podcasts on and have released, I think, by this point. But those types of questions consumed me, and I was bored, and I wanted to scratch those itches. And professionally, I was in a moment where I kind of needed some stronger credentials in philosophy. And I started it and thought to myself, well, this is kind of fun. This is a hobby. I'll just work on it kind of the same way people have a hobby. And if I never finished, then I never finished. I totally was on board with the possibility that I might never finish that other degree. But anyway, so yeah, I can get that. But and I have to admit that there are times in my life where I've just been an arrogant jerk and still can be. But the Lord has been gracious to me and reviving my faith and my strength and bringing me through those moments. And now I can see, not perfectly, but a lot more clearly, that what's beautiful to God, and I think really what we all intuitively and naturally see as beautiful anyway, is servanthood. Granted, we live in a world where it's antithetical to that, right? I mean, we live in the world of the, you know, the showboating and the peacocking and the one-upmanship.
Kind of humility, and still to get something.
Yeah. But when we see genuine humility, it is beautiful, and it's inspiring, and it's life-giving, and it's the way of Christ.
In your case, personally, do you think the path that you took got you closer to that understanding?
Yeah, I do. I mean, in some ways, I look back on my life. God corrects us in so many different ways. And as I look back on my life, I can see He's used hard things and difficulty many, many, many times in my life. I mean, to just let me hit rock bottom and bounce out of that. He's used hardship to correct me before. God has also used blessing to correct me. I mean, it's an interesting thing in God's providence. Sometimes the way He's corrected me is by, okay, you want X? I'll give it to you. And I get X, and X is as good as I thought that it would be. And yet, I'm still not satisfied. And I mean, so for example, X, becoming a professor of philosophy at Southeastern Seminary was a dream for me. I mean, it was a dream. And at 34 years old, God let me have it. And I have to admit to you, Joe, it was as good as I thought it would be. In fact, it was even better than I thought it would be. I loved it. And yet, I wasn't satisfied. I got the degrees. It was as fun as I thought it'd be, and yet it didn't satisfy me. And in those moments, that was kind of the beginning where God's helping me see now. Do you remember, Jamie, the satisfaction that you had in just me before you had any of these titles or any of these accomplishments or any of those things? And wasn't that sweeter than these things? And the answer was resoundingly, yes. And I remembered the joy of my initial faith, the joy of though I had nothing but had Christ, I had everything. And I could, at 34 years old, I was looking back on that 18-year-old kid who really didn't know a whole lot, who really didn't understand a whole lot, who certainly didn't have a theological education, that nobody on earth ever thought would accomplish much. And I missed that. I missed the simplicity of that.
You know, as you're saying this, one thing I hear or I think about is how God always takes us where we are, and like, that's okay. Like the idea that that's okay, because I think kind of implicit in all of this is sometimes we have to go through things, right?
Mm-hmm.
To see what God wants us to see. And so I think it's sometimes wrong to just look back at our mistakes and say those were bad, essentially, because if we get good out of them, it's not that we should do them again.
Right.
But it's just the idea that God is truly a redeemer.
Sure.
Like he is powerful enough to fix us.
Yeah, he has. And I, now that I sit where I sit, I look back through the whole journey, and it's astounding to me because nothing has been wasted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the foolish things that I did, and the dumb things that I did. I mean, God has been he is a redeemer God,
mm-hmm.
and he ends up redeeming all of it. The whole story gets used
mm-hmm.
to prepare me in ways for what I do now. So, I mean, you know, now I didn't set out to do any of this, but God evidently knew where this was going.
Mm-hmm.
And man, that academic training sure is handy right now, I have to say. And the administrative responsibilities that I'd had in the past, man, that sure is handy right now, I have to say. And you know what? I'm grateful I got to pastor churches. And not, by the way, big old whopping churches that everybody knows about. Rather obscure churches that nobody knew about. I am so glad that it was that I got to do and not the bigger, more, because I understand exactly what it is like to do. So anyway, I look back on it. Yeah. I look back on all of it, and it's like, man, everything I got to do is so handy for what I get to do right now. So it's kind of cool.
I think that is cool. I have one more question on this.
All right.
I'm thinking about the person listening to this, and they are, you know, everybody is at one point or another probably considering whether they need more education. Whether they're coming at it from the point of view of a person like me doesn't do things like that, or whether they are coming at it from the point of view of, I just love this. Does that mean God's pushing me forward?
Mm-hmm.
So whether they are considering getting a bachelor's degree because they feel that is necessary, or whether they are considering getting a second PhD, a first PhD, a doctor, everything in between. What is your advice to a person considering more education?
Yeah, good question. So I actually get quite often, just yesterday I had a student, I guess he's not a student anymore, he already has a PhD, but I get pretty regularly folks that already have done one that are asking the question, should I do another one?
Oh.
And they're coming to me now because I did two, and they're like, hey, should I do this? And I do not standardly say, yes, you should do a second one. I will tell people my reasons of why I did it, and I don't think that's what everybody should do. I think so across the board, just for everybody, you have to ask a number of questions. Remember the beautiful metaphor of what we are found in Scripture of the body of Christ. Paul employs this picture of a human body and the diversity within that body and the unity of that body for the kingdom function as the ideal of how we should live our lives collectively. We need people in the body of Christ that can do Greek and Hebrew. I can't. I mean, I did the classes. I took the classes. I made decent grades in it. And there was a time when I could read some Hebrew and some Greek. I can't anymore. I'm sorry to all my Bible buddies.
Right. But we're gonna
I also want you to know that your sort of friendly judgment on me, I'm impervious to it. Guys, you're never going to make me feel bad about that. It's just because I think biblically speaking, in the body, the picture of the body of Christ, I'm just not convinced that everybody in the body has to be able to do that.
Right.
Somebody needs to be able to do it. We need people in the body of Christ that can do philosophy. We need people in the body of Christ that can do counseling.
Mm-hmm.
I need my counseling friends. I need my pastoral friends to be my pastors and my counselors. They, you know, I fit the body of Christ by potentially helping us think through delicate issues or difficult issues philosophically. So given the picture of the body of Christ, I think the question, what I'd say is, what member are you in the body of Christ? And what I would encourage people to do is not just feel like there's this standard ideal for all of us that, regarding education. Ask the question, which member of the body are you? And now the question is, how can you be faithful to that responsibility? What is your responsibility within the body discover that first, and now pursue the education necessary that's going to help you do that well for the kingdom.
So this is less of a could and more of a should.
Yeah, that's right. Should you do this, given the responsibilities that God has entrusted to you, do that. What we don't need is everybody wasting their time on tasks that God's not called them to do.
Yeah.
So we need people understanding very well what member of the body that they are, and then pursuing that. Now, for those out there that God clearly has gifted you and called you to the academic side, and you're thinking about other degrees, well, you know, then maybe you should pursue it. Mm-hmm. But whether that's a first one, a second one, or what, a master's or a bachelor's or other things like that, clearly we have to do theological education because there's some people in the body that have those responsibilities and need to do it. But to me, it's much more at this point in life of knowing where you fit mm-hmm. for the kingdom. I mean, I'm just full-on aware at this point that my better service to the kingdom is not in certain areas, mm-hmm. you know. But my better service to the kingdom right now is in these areas. And so I think all of us have to do that.
That's really helpful, kind of just pulling back, knowing where you fit, mm-hmm. and then starting from there. How can I do this better?
Right. That's right.
All right.
Hey, everybody. This is Jamie and Joe again.
If you like this podcast, would you leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts? That helps other people find it.
And if you have any questions, we'd love to hear about them. Just go to jamiedew.com/questions and send them in that way. And we'll take a look at the most frequently asked questions and give them a shot.